pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
You are listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. This week, it's myself and J.C. Carter.
Fucking Republicans.
Oh, boy. You know what? Don't fuck a Republican. That's how you make more Republicans.
And they seem perfectly capable of making more of themselves.
Ugh. So gross. Some of us are being responsible.
Yes.
I stopped at two in a step. And
I stopped two.
Yeah. I was like, that's enough. That covers me and the current missus.
Yep.
Yep. Otherwise.
We are covered. We are done. I got, you know, it's like you got all, they got all 10 fingers and toes. They got full cognizance. Then it's fine.
I don't know. You think about it. You make too many.
All I got to do is keep them alive. If I had more than two, I'd have to keep even more alive. No, I'm good at keeping two alive. Yeah.
Well, and if you have a bunch, you end up with like an RFK Jr.
Yeah.
You know,
spare kid.
The more kids you have, the better the odds are you're going to get an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
I've got two and a stepson, and all three of them are pretty easy to take.
Yep.
I mean, yep. Everybody's got their problems and foibles, but for the most part, they're easy to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I love it when my kids come and visit. They're a fucking hoot.
Yep. Kids are awesome.
Your kids are awesome. I like your kids.
Well, thank you.
I always have. Well, as we've said for years, your son is my favorite lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
I will never, ever get over the time that we were walking through Comic-Con and this just very tall, very pretty cheerleader mm-hmm. screamed, "Angus!" and jumped out from behind her table and planted a big wet old kiss on him.
Yep.
And you look back at him, he wasn't even embarrassed. He's just like, man, he looked more like, boy, this just happened so much.
I know.
And I just remember you and I both remember in high school and being like, fuck this kid. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I mean, and that story is one of those, fuck you, this happened to you? He was a freshman in high school. He's sitting in this classroom. It was one of those where they make you take this class because it would help you keep up with your homework and stuff.
Okay.
Kind of class. And she was in the class with him and she sat next to him and they just started talking. And at some point she said, "Do you want to be my boyfriend?"
What?
Yeah.
I had to work for that.
I know. And her thing was that that was like one of two classes she took all week. The rest of the time she was doing stuff at home.
Huh.
And so the reason why she had to take that class was to prove that she was actually able to do work at home. And so, yeah, when we saw her there, I'm like, I had no idea. Because he told me about that. And I'm like, okay, so I pictured somebody his size, his age, you know. And all of a sudden she comes bouncing out. And I'm like, well, she's his age. Not his size. She's at least two heads taller than him.
Well, he got himself a growth spurt. He got taller.
Yeah, he shot past her. He was wee when he was a freshman, but he shot past her. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, what a little fuck. I mean, I'm proud of him and all, but still.
Yeah.
He's, yeah. the girls just throw themselves at you. And he's like, oh, no girl likes me. I'm like, bullshit.
Too many girls like you, and you aren't processing that because it's it's a constant.
Yeah, you're not, you don't get it.
Well, good kids. You got good kids.
Yep.
You know, I hope that your daughter just keeps away from the boys. That's my hope. Because my daughter didn't.
she's it's been good. She wound up having to go to Planned Parenthood because she was having problems with her cycle. Like, it wasn't consistent, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, everybody says the thing that fixes that is birth control. And she's like, well, I need to get on birth control. I'm like, I didn't hear that.
I don't need to know that. I don't need to know that. Don't tell me.
I don't want to know that. But that's, no, it's good. It's good. Actually, I do want to know that you're going to be on birth control if you're going to be doing anything else. So, yeah. So she's been on birth control now for a year or so. And
I want the peace of mind without the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm glad you're on birth control. That's great. Unless something bad happens and you need my help, I don't care to know anything else.
Yep. And she knows that even when she was dating that guy up in Ogden and she'd go up to his place every few days and spend the night. I said, anytime you need it, you text or call me. I will drive my ass up there to get you.
There you go. Yep. Very nice.
Now her boyfriend's local, but it's being weird. I don't know what the fuck's going on with that kid.
Well, we probably shouldn't talk about it while we record, or we'll have another member of your family mad at us.
Exactly.
Okay. So let's get into it. Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly last week was like, Epstein wasn't a pedophile. He liked 15-year-olds, not 5-year-olds. And it's like, and we talked about it, and there's, you know, there's a semantic argument to be made, and she was not making a semantic argument. She was making an argument that 15-year-olds are fair game.
Yeah, because they look like adults. So you can't tell, so therefore it's their fault, not your fault.
Right. Former Fox News host, 54, has been widely criticized after claiming a source suggested Epstein was not a pedophile, but was instead into the barely legal type. Barely legal, dumbass, is 18 plus a day.
18 plus, yeah.
Yep. That's what barely legal means. Because it's legal. Barely, but legal.
Barely. They got there. They hit their 18th birthday.
Yep.
Now it's legal. Yep. Yeah.
She specifically mentioned 15-year-olds. Speaking on an episode of The Megyn Kelly Show last week, she continued, I realize this is disgusting. I'm definitely not trying to make an excuse for this. I'm just giving you facts. And Megyn Kelly's facts are that 15-year-olds are good to go. I happen to disagree.
Megyn Kelly's facts are apologies for the current behavior of her chosen political party.
Yeah.
That's really it.
Yep. So she's been branded a danger to children.
As she should be.
As she should be, even before. But it was Christina Ricci that called her out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which was pretty good. But in a first post, she said, there's definitely a difference between a 5-year-old and a 15-year-old. But that difference is whether or not sleeping with them makes you a pedophile. In a second post, Ricci shared screenshots from Kelly's interview with journalist Batya Unger Sargon, in which they discussed the House Oversight Committee's release on the Epstein emails. And Kelly argued, I know somebody very close to the case, Jeffrey Epstein, et cetera, et cetera. We did that. Ricci 45 slammed the comments and warned, this woman is a danger to children.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Yep.
I think she should be on a list.
I do too. It's creepy as fuck.
She has a national platform. She has her own show. She's able to say whatever the fuck she wants in defense and an apology for these bastards that we're putting in for, you know, into office. And she should be branded for it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. She have to wear a big red exclamation point on her lapel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that you look at it and go, yoy!
stay away from this psycho. Yeah.
Yep. So, speaking of psychos getting visits, President Trump had a one-on-one with Zoran Mamdani.
Yeah.
And apparently fell in love. I don't mind it. I think I would have much the same reaction to meeting him. I would swoon.
Honestly, I think Zoran took a page from every world leader's book. Flatter Trump and he'll give you whatever you want.
Well, I think the weirdest thing for me was you had Trump was sitting down behind the desk. Not the mm-hmm. Resolute desk, because he stole that and put it in Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
But no, he's sitting behind his desk and Mamdani's standing next to him. They're both smiling. And one of the right wingers from, I think, One American News or whatever was like, are you still claiming that Trump is a fascist? And Mamdani opened his mouth to start to talk. And Trump's like, it's okay. You could tell him. Yeah, it's easier than trying to explain everything. I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
What just happened?
I do not understand this.
More quiet part out loud here.
Yeah. anyway, surprisingly
just
warm.
Tell him, yeah, I am a fascist. What are you going to do?
I mean, he's got to know.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. When he says he hasn't read Project 2025, I have no doubt of that.
I have no doubt he has not read Project 2025. I think somebody told him what it was. He's like, let's do that. And then when they asked me about it, I can honestly say I've never read it. You just told me what it is.
Yeah. I don't think anybody told him about it. I just think Stephen Miller just keeps sneaking this shit under the door. Put it in a pile.
I think he just likes to be in charge. He likes to be there. I think when he goes into these meetings that we never get footage of, or they make them, you know, the C-SPAN camera gets turned off for, you know, state secrets or whatever. He just capitulates to them. Because I've seen a couple of shot videos of him where he's like trying to offer suggestions and then he wind up doing something different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I think he's just a figurehead. He's like George W. Bush. He's the figurehead. He wants aggrandizement. He just wants to be the guy in charge. He wants to go around all the world leaders and stuff and just blunder his way into stuff. But in the end, he's like, you give me something to do, I'll sell it, you know?
Yeah. He's a carnival barker. He's a huckster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And aside from, and unlike Bush, who had Dick Cheney, who understood how everything works and manipulated that to, you know, to enrich himself and his family, as well as, you know, commit war crimes. Trump has, it's not his vice president doing it because he picked a bigger idiot than himself to be his vice president.
Yeah,
but no, it's
too busy banging Ottomans.
Exactly.
Yeah. What was it? It was Mark Maron on his latest stand-up special. It was like, and somehow this fucker managed to find a Jewish Nazi.
Yeah.
Like, yep. Yep. That is exactly what happened.
That's exactly it.
So there was a video out this week. Oh, well, just to put Mamdani to bed. Not only was Trump all smiles.
Yeah.
He put on a red sweater and a black trench coat today to go out and do stuff. He's dressing like Mamdani.
Oh my God.
He's got a man crush. And I don't, I'm,
I his man crushes were like left, you know, were for the Saudi prince and that, not Zoran.
There is something special about Mamdani. I mean, that's just really it is the guy.
I agree.
And I mean, I saw it and I'm like, boy, he's really comfortable in his skin. And I appreciate that about him and all of this. But it was when he was getting on his bike and somebody yelled communist. And he's like, no, it's, you say it, cyclist. And I'm like, holy shit, this guy's for real.
He is so good.
Yep. Yeah, smooth motherfucker. Smooth.
I really hope he can enact a lot of the stuff that, you know, he wants to do. I really hope the state of New York and the city of New York gets out of his way and provides him with the funding he needs to make these things happen.
Well, the governor already said she wasn't going to back him up, so he's starting on the left foot. But we'll see how it goes. You know,
the governor also has the largest voting bloc that could take her out of office if she doesn't support him well enough.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that is something that Democrats in New York are not paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this fucker ran where 8 million people got to vote for him and only like 9.5 million total get to vote for the governor.
Yeah.
And in this guy came.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Biggest city in the world. Dwarfs every other population, you know, dwarfs all the other cities in New York in population. There's no way. I mean, New York City runs New York. Fuck Albany. It's just where they put the capital. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, that's where governors.
The voter base is in New York City. Yeah.
Governors go there to kill grandma.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do and sexually harass people.
Mm-hmm.
So at least the new governor's not doing that.
Yeah.
Yet. We'll see. This week, I woke up and was kind of doom scrolling a little bit and came across this video with a bunch of Democrats, veterans that are serving in Congress. They put together a video that said, "Don't follow illegal orders."
You don't have to follow illegal orders.
Yeah.
To which.
Fucking Trump lost his shit and it's like seditious behavior punishable by death.
Mm-hmm.
It's so they say don't do illegal shit and you got mad.
Yep.
That's pretty telling.
I can't remember if they called him out at the end of the video or not.
I don't remember.
I think they might have said something like, and this president is close to doing that or something like that. I can't remember if that was the case or if it's something I read in an article that I then associated to it, you know?
Yep. So we got a second tweet. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
We got a second tweet. It's called seditious behavior at the highest level. The president wrote in yet another message. Each one of these traitors to our country should be, in all caps, arrested and put on trial. Their words cannot be allowed to stand. We won't have a country anymore. An example, quote, or all caps, must be set, President DJT. Again, all they said was, don't follow illegal orders. At which point, what's her name? With the cross lady, Leavitt, gets up and says, everything the president does is legal. Which, the last time I heard that was Nixon.
Well, and technically the Supreme Court said that was the case. But there's a difference between what the president does is legal or, you know, if he does illegal things, it's legal, and violating the Constitution.
Yeah, you think Private Dingus, who shoots into a crowd of protesters when he goes to court, is going to have the same protection from the Supreme Court that fucking Trump does? No.
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 And we eliminated... I was only following orders as a defense.
In Nuremberg.
Around the world, because the Nazis claimed that. And Nuremberg said, no, that's not a defense anymore. You can't just say I was only following orders. You were fully aware what you were doing was wrong and evil, and you needed to not do it and stand defiantly against Adolf Hitler. But you chose to do it because you wanted to, not because you were ordered to.
Yeah.
And the same and we've always said the same thing about our own soldiers. We've actually held them to that standard, especially like after
My Lai.
What was that?
My Lai, the My Lai massacre.
The My Lai massacre, and also what was the prison one in Iraq?
Oh, Abu Ghraib.
Abu Ghraib. Yeah. Abu Ghraib. Those guys all got the book thrown at them because even though they were like, well, we were just doing what we were told. No, you weren't. You weren't told to do that.
Yeah.
You weren't told to stack guys naked on top of each other and take a photo because you thought it was funny.
Yeah.
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 And then speaking of Leavitt, when the apparent president of the United States points at a woman who's just doing her fucking job and says, quiet, quiet, piggy. Caroline Leavitt, you know, she's in solidarity with the patriarchy, said, quote, "I think the president being frank and open and honest to your faces rather than hiding behind your backs is, frankly, a lot more respectful than what you saw in the last administration, where you had a president who lied to your faces and didn't speak to you for weeks." Now, there's a genuine criticism there that Biden didn't have a lot of press conferences, and I agree. However, the president of the United States calling a professional woman who is just doing her job piggy is misogynistic in the extreme and really needs to be called out.
Yep.
And this whole, he's just being honest. That's bullshit. You know, sure he is, but that doesn't make it right. That's why we teach kids what's right and wrong.
You don't call a woman piggy. Even if it was, you know, our heroine, Miss Piggy. He would have, that would have been answered with a karate chop from Miss Piggy.
Hi-ya!
Yep. What'd you say, Donald? Hi-ya!
All right, let's take a break. When we get back on the other side, more news.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire, and as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, JC Jocelyn and Jeff assemble for more news and reviews curated just for you. In Tinseltown, we remember Rebecca Heineman, Tetsuya Nakamine, Dan McGrath, and Dwayne Roberts.
A titan of industry.
When will we get to watch Lanterns?
Who knows?
What's the status on the last Ronin movie? Will there be a new Star Trek film? We watch Dark Winds, The Human Target, Borderlands, Frankenstein, Stranger Things, Top Gun, Maverick, The Devil Wears Prada, Julie and Julia, A Man Called Otto, and Captain America Civil War comics. Why is 22 an important number in Watchmen? Will the Turtles take on Godzilla? And what's the status of the last Ronin game?
Sorry.
We read Grim Space, The Ballad of Captain Hook, The Last Starship, number 2, Batman Deadpool, Captain America, number 5, One World Under Doom, number 9, and The People's History of the United States. All that and a new Stargate television series. Facefront, True Believers, it's the world's greatest comic book podcast, available Tuesdays at comicbookpodcast.com and almost anywhere you can find podcasts.
So you got two flies sitting on a piece of shit. One of the flies farts, and the other fly looks at him and is like, "Dude, I'm eating." I mean, seriously, when was the last time you saw him in anything but a white shirt and a red tie?
Yeah, I know. Holy shit.
Yeah, I know, huh?
I mean, that is... I mean, they've even got... NDTV has a side-by-side of him with Zoran, of him and Zoran, and it's like, yeah. You just, you picked a new fashion there, Donnie.
You ever meet somebody and you just swoon so hard you adopt their style of dress? Because I haven't. I mean, I've met Kevin Smith before, for fuck's sake, and I'm not running around wearing shorts and business coats.
It's not a turtleneck. It's a fancy red scarf that just happens to be the same color red that Mondami wears.
Yep.
So underneath that might be the white shirt and tie, but...
All I know is I'm seeing tweets and threads of people saying, it's not even cold here today.
I know. That's the other side of it. I'm still about a week or two. Michelle said it's going to get cold this next week, like drop like 16 degrees. So I guess I'll be finally sporting my scarves when I go out for my walks. But yeah, I haven't considered it that cold yet. And here's Trump in a fancy red cashmere scarf, from what I can tell. Looks beautiful.
Here's the thing. It's almost, I'm going to go off on climate change for a sec.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost December.
Yep.
And our rose bush just bloomed 4 new flowers. 4.
Yep.
And they're big and they're beautiful. They're not stunted like they've been chilly or anything. They're just big, beautiful flowers. It's fucking nuts. It makes no sense.
Yesterday, I had to go up and clean out the gutters.
Ugh.
And one of the things that was interfering with was a rose bush that still had flowers on it. And I was like, how the fuck do you still have flowers?
I mean, we looked it up. And some of them were like, yeah, sometimes these will flower well into the fall. And I'm like, well, we are well into the fall.
It's well into the fall. Yep.
But, I mean, most of the big storms that we talk about in tones like this with the children, yes. I remember our October, November storms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we had a big foot and a half on Christmas Eve once.
Yep.
You know, but normally, no. Utah used to get snow in October. And now, I mean, you barely need fucking snow tires to get around out here right now. It's nuts. Our license plates say greatest snow on earth, for fuck's sake. And we don't have any snow. It's all being made by machines.
Yep.
Greatest snow on earth, my ass.
The last time I remember good snow in the fall was back in 2020. We got, or no, 2019, we got... really bad snowstorms through November, because it was one of the things that, you know, fucked up the show we were trying to do. One of the many things that fucked up the show we were trying to do. Yeah.
I did. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
But it's weird.
Over Thanksgiving. I remember getting just blanketed in snow over Thanksgiving. Yeah.
But I remember as a kid, it used to just happen every year.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many times it was snowing when I went out trick-or-treating, but I... don't recall. I really don't recall thinking back to my childhood until I was well into my teens having a Halloween that wasn't at least fucking freezing.
You know, we'd get those fun little plastic Halloween costumes and mom would have to get it twice your size because it had to fit over your parka.
Ugh, fucking. Now I'm mad about
that. I remember
when
you're making a costume and running around and it was raining the whole night. And I just ran around in my handmade costume because I'm like, fuck it, I'm enjoying my costume. I don't need a coat.
So more on Trump. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
After Trump's shocking call Thursday for members of Congress to be executed was met with immediate and explicit pushback from Senator Chris Murphy. Love this guy.
Yep.
Democrat in Connecticut. Who sounded the horn for every, quote, person of influence, end quote, to repudiate the president's call for violence, saying, and I quote, the president of the United States just called for members of Congress to be executed. If you are a person of influence in this country, maybe it's time to pick a fucking side. That's a quote. That fucking belongs to Senator Murphy. It's not mine. It's his. And it is a work of art. It is beautiful.
We love you.
Yep.
And as a person of very tiny influence, I would say I've long ago picked a side. Fuck Donald Trump. I want him out of office.
Yep.
Like yesterday. Yeah.
I don't know. That's assuming we have any influence.
And the fact that you fucking Republicans don't see what you've created, refuse to look at what you've created. You're well aware of what's going on here. You refuse to acknowledge it. You refuse to accept it because your paymasters are getting what they want, and you have not only the opportunity, you have the fucking responsibility to impeach this son of a bitch for violating the Constitution multiple times. And these words, you know, where he has now threatened sitting members of Congress with death. That's a violation of the Constitution. He needs to be removed from office. He needs to be impeached and removed from office. And you fucking pussies won't do it.
Nope.
Because your paymasters say they're getting what they want, and that makes you happy.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then speaking of calling out Republicans, he continued, if you are a Republican in Congress, if you are a Republican governor, maybe it's time to draw a line in the sand and say under no circumstance should the president of the United States be calling on his political opposition to be hanged.
Oh, hell. Most of them wish the same thing every day.
Yep.
We know they do because we all know Republicans can't win without cheating.
Oh, yeah.
They can't win on their own merits. They win because they have spent decades brainwashing rubes into believing that if the Republicans have control, everything is better. And moral. Everything is moral as well.
Yeah. It's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. House Republicans are throwing cold water on the idea of making discharge petitions harder to execute. Mike Johnson is upset that the Epstein files are out because it makes him look like a dumbass for all of the feckless and worthless fucking foot dragging he did on what's her name from. So
from Arizona.
And so Republicans are threatening to launch even more of the rarely used gambits to circumvent leadership. Heightened interest in the rarely used tool comes after Democrats teamed up with a small group of Republicans to force a vote on a bill requiring the Justice Department to release the Epstein files. Even though only four Republicans signed the petition, the legislation passed 427-1. We're going to talk about the one in just a second.
Yeah.
So let's because I want to mock him.
I think three or four voted no or were absent or just listed as absent.
Yeah, some of those are old Democrats in comas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, for whatever that's worth. But yeah, Mike Johnson, who for months has opposed the Epstein filed bill, on Friday pushed back on an Axios report that he was considering changing the House rules on discharge petitions, saying, quote, "It hasn't even been part of the discussion and not something that I've anticipated." I don't believe you.
You're full of shit, Mike. You refused to seat her because you knew that petition would go through. That, therefore, you've had all this fucking time to hold, you know, to say we're going to repeal this. He could have done that before even seating her and gotten it done.
Yep.
And he had the Republican, all the Republicans will vote for it. He could have fucking gotten it done.
Well, and dumbass. then we come to Clay Higgins from Louisiana.
Yeah.
Clay Higgins was the only no vote. Only lawmaker to vote against the bipartisan bill to force the release of the Epstein files.
If Higgins was the one who voted against it, how did Johnson vote? He had to have voted for it.
Or he was one of the absentees.
Yeah.
I'll look
Johnson's
that up.
Johnson's one of the other congressmen from Louisiana, because he's from Shreveport. Yeah.
Oh, I'm typing it in right now. Voted Epstein files discharge. He voted to do it.
You panty waste. Mike Johnson.
Yeah, that's the power of your conviction, chump.
Yep, we can see exactly where your convictions lie. Well, we shouldn't even have petitions. These petitions shouldn't have this much power. I'm taking a note from the Utah legislature.
Yeah, no shit, huh?
Shouldn't have this much power. And then he turns around and says, well, I guess I got to vote for it because Trump wants us to just do it.
So
and meanwhile, one other guy from his delegation of Louisiana is like, hell no, I ain't voting for it.
Well, the reason he gives is the following. He says it abandons 250 years of criminal justice procedure in America. As written, this bill reveals and injures thousands of innocent people, witnesses, people who provided alibis, family members, etc. The all bad things. You know,
all of which was agreed upon in the bill to be redacted. If they were victims or witnesses, their names would be redacted from the public release of the files. Only the perpetrators would be listed. That was in the bill.
Yeah. I don't think he matters.
No.
No. Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird. Higgins told CNN's Manu Raju last week that he planned to vote against the bill, even as the tide turned and more Republicans said they would back it. He told Raju that Trump didn't have, quote, a good relationship, end quote, with Epstein, and denied that the president was trying to kill the bill, saying it's not the White House and the president, it's people that stand for longstanding criminal justice procedure that this bill does not observe. If you support 200 years of criminal justice precedent, I you know what I did until the fucking Supreme Court just ruined my opinion on law in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he says, anyway, blah, 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 on this type of investigation moves forward, then you support what we're doing in the Oversight Committee. Look, the reason that they're doing this, dumbass, is because he's dead. You know?
Yeah.
They had a reporter going after Kamala the other day, and they're like, why did you release the Epstein files? Why didn't you release the Epstein files? Well, because there was an active prosecution going on with that paperwork against Maxwell. That's why. It's pretty fucking simple.
Yep.
You know, you don't have to believe it because you're an OAN reporter, but it is that simple.
It's that there were active investigations going on. It couldn't be released at the time. Should there have been more attempts at conviction of private citizens, including private citizen Trump? Yes, there should have been. But they have a tendency to want to take down the big fish first and then go after the little fish. So,
well, yeah. I mean, and what are you going to do? You're going to just shrug your shoulders and point your arms at fucking Merrick Garland, who, honest to God, probably needs a fucking committee decision to wipe his own ass.
I think he does.
Oh, God, I hate that guy. He would have been such a good Supreme Court justice because he's deliberative to a fault. Mm-hmm. And if I got to wait time for bad news from the Supreme Court, I'm usually pretty happy about that.
In somewhat related news that we didn't put into the roundup, Marjorie Taylor Greene is stepping down.
Yeah, I was going to talk about her in Patreon, but we can bring it up now.
Yeah. Well, she's been our favorite whipping child for the last 8 years.
Yeah.
She's been in Congress. So,
my eye roll on her is twofold. And the first is, when she came to Congress, she was worth about $700,000.
Yeah.
Now she's worth over $25 million.
Right.
And then the other was...
Which is pretty typical of most Congress people and why the corruption happens so quickly there. Yeah.
If somebody invented an app to track how Congress critters did their... I'm sure it might even exist. How they did their investments.
Yeah.
That'd be the investment scheme I follow.
Oh, yeah. Insider trading always makes you money.
Yep. Yep.
Nancy Pelosi got her wrist slapped for it. So did Dianne Feinstein. They got their wrist slapped for it because they were using insider information to do trades.
And it's weird that no Republicans have had their wrist slapped for doing the same fucking thing.
Right.
I'm not standing up for Pelosi or Feinstein here. They can both just take a flying fuck at a rolling donut for all I care. I don't think that Congress critters should be allowed to invest.
Martha Stewart had less of an insider trading incident and went to prison for it.
Yeah.
Because she just happened to ask a guy who was in charge of this business or whatever, should I continue to invest? And he said, I wouldn't recommend it. That's all he said. And so she stopped her investments and then got busted for insider trading because the company went belly up after that.
Yep.
And it's like, well, you knew. She's like, well, I didn't know. I mean, I guess I knew, but I didn't know. You know what I mean? And it's like, and she went to prison for it. Meanwhile, Pelosi and Feinstein are like, oh, yeah, this is going to tank because of these decisions we just made. So I'm going to move my investments out.
The ethics committee's like, come on, guys. Not so blatant.
Yep.
So the other thing.
Green did the same shit all the time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The other thing about Green is her lifetime benefits package just kicked in.
Yep. That's the other side of
it. So she gets insurance for the rest of her life,
mm-hmm.
and health insurance and some other cool shit. And that's it. That's all.
Yep.
So she's out in January. Mm-hmm. She's disgusting. She's gross. And I swear to God, if she starts walking the Democratic trophy circuit, I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
Oh, they're ready to give her trophies for standing up to Trump. These last couple of months, but I'm like, well, she knew she was quitting.
Yeah.
Of course she's going to stand up to Trump. That's what every fucking Republican does once they've decided, oh, I can quit now. I have this available for me. Therefore, I'll stand up to Trump. Yeah.
Yep. CNN's chief data analyst, Harry Enten, on Monday broke down how Latinos, a group that played a very odd but key role in Trump's 2024 election win, have soured on the president since the early weeks of his second term. Gosh, what would cause that? Anyway, Enten said, whatever Donald Trump is doing in office in the minds of Latinos, it's not working. They have turned against him in massive, massive numbers.
Well, yeah.
I hope so.
The reason why the Latinos were apt to vote for him, even though he was like, deport them all, deport them all, deport them all, was they felt like, well, yeah, we want to get rid of these illegal immigrants because they make us look bad as the ones who are from this country or who came here legally to this country.
Yeah.
We want them out, and Latinos are traditionally a conservative voting bloc.
Oh, yeah.
And so they would normally vote Republican, just like Muslims would normally vote Republican, but Republicans have vilified them to the point where they don't vote Republican anymore.
Yeah.
But normally they're a very conservative voting bloc, and so they were, of course, they were like, no, we want these illegals out. But then all of a sudden Stephen Miller's like, pick them up at the Home Depot. Pick them up at church. I want more people picked up.
And pick up at court. Like,
yeah, picked up at court. And they were like, hang on a minute. Now we're in trouble. Now we have to show our fucking IDs every time we turn around because you think we're illegal.
Yeah. I was reading a thing earlier today about a raid that the fuckers put together at a school bus drop-off. Mm-hmm. So the kids are coming home from school. They're going to get off the bus. And boom, in pulls ICE.
Yeah.
Starts grabbing parents, leaving children unaccompanied.
Yeah.
All right. All right. We're going to take another break. Back on the other side. I promise it ends with good news. Sort of. There's a couple of caveats, but it's good news. It's cool news. But I'll explain. Hang on. Mm-hmm. Just hang on.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs. But it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does. Including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the shows. So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com. D-E-F-E-N.
Reason you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then, here's some more of that, I suppose.
So I don't know about you, but with the holidays coming up, I sometimes wonder, what can I give the people that I know and love, and or what can I give people I don't like? Ladies and gentlemen, I have a solution for you. www.mondaysinamerica.com.
There you go.
mondayinamerica.com. It's $15, you know, and you can
It's a good book. You need to buy it, guys.
Thanks,
it's
buddy.
A great book. This is Jeff's first foray into being a published essayist, and it's worth reading. So,
I like essays.
He's been a published essayist for decades now because of blogging, but I guess you don't really feel published until you have it in paper, printed paper.
Well, I've been in The Catalyst, I did a really long one on Utah's cannabis culture, where it is and how we got here. That almost got picked up, but the editor was a schmuck. But yeah,
that,
no,
that,
it's
that's Mondays in America Volume 2. That'll go in there. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I am actually working on another set of essays. I have no idea what I was allergic to these things in school. And now all of a sudden I'm like, me write essay, me typey typey, you know? So I don't,
yeah, I'm still not the best essayist or journalist, you know, blogger, you know, somebody who can journal. I don't really do that very well.
Yeah.
I can tell a story better than anyone, but when it comes to telling a story about me, I'm like, my life's boring. Why do you want to hear about that? You know?
Yeah. Anyway, www.mondayinamerica.com. Grab one for you and your loved ones.
You know what? Let's keep Jeff doing this because it's fun. I like watching him. I like watching him working as a writer. I like that.
It's nice. It feels good because that's what I kept calling myself all throughout my teens and 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a lot. I just didn't do anything with it.
Yep.
But yeah, fuck. I mean, when did I, my first blog was 2004.
Yeah.
And then not for nothing, not to say I invented anything because I didn't, but I put together a self-contained, political news, audio, whatever you want to call it. I did it with Real Player. Remember Real Player?
Yeah, I remember Real Player.
Yeah, I did 15 of those long before podcast was a word.
Mm-hmm.
I was putting out audio files. In 2004, we did it for a political candidate I was working for. And so that predated a lot of what Howard Dean was doing. It's just nuts. It's nuts how where I've been and what I've done and how I just keep missing the fucking boat.
That might be a research note for me. I'm curious what the first podcast was and how it actually happened, because, you know, it's called a podcast because people had their iPods now that they were listening to music on, and all of a sudden these downloadable essays started showing up that you could listen to.
It was a guy. It was a reporter. And I think we talked about this on the show. It was a reporter for some East Coast magazine who was writing about whatever it was and used it as a throwaway. It was one of like three or four examples of, you could call it this, or you could call it that, or you could call it a podcast. Yep. Nobody knows. And everybody went, well, podcast seems pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
And that guy got absolutely no money for that. Unlike the guy who invented the frozen burrito.
Yep.
Yeah.
He got millions for it. No, and I think about, you know, NPR was one of the first to really do it, and all these others. And here we've been doing this for 15 plus years now.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we're still doing it. We're still here doing it. We love every one of you who keep listening, who keep dragging down the episodes from, you know, from the leftshow.com to whatever aggregate you use, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever.
But remember, YouTube.
Yeah,
we depend on listeners like you to keep going day to day. So if you don't want to join us on Patreon, pop over to theleftshow.com and just hit on one of the various donate buttons. Trust me, I've covered all the bases. Okay.
And mondaysinamerica.com.
Monday.
Mondayinamerica.com.
That's the one. I don't own the other one.
Buy that book.
It's a good book. I like it. Where are we at? Oh, just when you think the Trump administration can't be more embarrassing and incompetent, they top themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's been reported that last Friday, U.S. contractors arrived by boat on Monday at Playa Baghdad, driving signs into the sand where the Rio Grande empties into the Gulf of Mexico. That prompted, quote, heavily armed Mexican security personnel to rush the scene, mounted with machine guns in a terrifying standoff. American signs called the area restricted by the commander, and that any unauthorized person found in the area might be, quote, detained and searched. The Pentagon, in a deeply embarrassing statement, admitted that its troops were mistaken when they landed on the beach in Mexico.
In Mexico. Whoops.
Yep. Yep. I like that they just paddled across the river, apparently, and started putting up no trespassing signs in fucking Mexico. Like a bunch of shitheads. Yep. These are Border Patrol guys that are fucking stationed in the area. You know? There's people there that have maps. Is it the military? Guess what? They all have to go through map reading courses so mm-hmm. that they know when they're in fucking Mexico.
Well, this was because they're blaming Hegseth for it. So this had to be the military.
Yep.
That went in and did this shit. And so they invade Mexico to put up no trespassing signs on Mexican beaches. You're not allowed to go in the Gulf of America. That's trespassing. Yep.
There's no modern equivalent to the Keystone Cops.
No.
No. You know, again, unless it's like the Dallas Cowboys. There, a little football joke for you folks. How you enjoying? Very nice, eh? Let's see. So, that's bad. Mm-hmm. Just so we know. You don't go to other countries and put up your no trespassing signs. There was a huge party at the White House, welcoming in, MBS, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. Yep. I don't know if you guys have heard of Saudi Arabia. Let me tell you a little bit about it. Once upon a time, 19 guys from Saudi Arabia who got money from Saudi Arabians, jumped onto American aircraft and crashed mm-hmm. four of them, three into buildings and one into a field because the passengers tried to take it back.
Tried to take it back because they heard what they were planning.
Right. Yeah. Have you heard about how they treat women in Saudi Arabia? That's probably what's so appealing to most of MAGA.
My political science professor, the late. I'm trying to remember his last name. It started with a Y. No, I can't remember it now. Anyway, he was stationed
was in
the
Yeager?
50s. Yeager, that's it.
Yeah. Larry.
Late Carl Yeager.
Carl.
He was in the 50s. He was in the Air Force, and he was stationed. They were sent to Saudi Arabia to put up radar towers and radio towers for the Air Force. So they're going around doing that, and they would every now and then they'd find these tall towers just made out of stone, old towers. They're decrepit. They could tell they hadn't used them for years. And there would be these two depressions a few hundred yards out from the tower, kind of equal distance, right next to each other. One was this smooth kind of depression in the sand. And the other was a depression, but it had all these jagged rocks in there. And they finally asked their Saudi interpreter, what's up with these towers we keep coming across? And he said, oh, yeah, we used to, if a man was accused of being homosexual, we would put him on the tower and there was a catapult on top.
Jesus Christ.
And we would launch him into the air, and Allah would make the decision, would let us know whether he was homosexual or not. If he wasn't homosexual, he would land in a pool of water, which was the smoothed out depression. If not, he'd land on the jagged rocks and be killed.
Well, that's pretty fucked up.
Yep.
I don't like that at all.
This is where they come from. This is who they are. And it's like they haven't changed much, you know.
So Ronaldo, the not best player in the world, I'm giving that to Lionel Messi because fuck you, Ronaldo.
I'm giving it to McTierney.
Well, you can do that. It's wrong, but you can do that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's, I know I'm wrong, but.
Feels good, though, doesn't it? Doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Oh, great.
Scotland! Going to the World Cup.
The Scots.
Yeah. They're not going to have any problem getting in. They're white.
Nope.
Yep. Anyway, Saudi Arabia has this thing with sports washing, which is a phrase I learned this week in school, of all places. But Ronaldo's planned visit to the White House, which is when Trump was meeting with Mohammed bin Salman, brought renewed attention to Saudi Arabia's ongoing use of global sports figures to bolster its international image. Now, when you look at the European League or you look at the Premier League, top of the game, this is where the badass players are. Well, Ronaldo, who is fucking great, make no mistake.
Yeah, no, he was one of the greatest players.
Yeah, he signed what I am told is a $700 million 2-year contract to go play in the Saudi League. And so he is a fully owned puppet of the Saudi Arabians.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when asked about human rights violations, he's like, hey, I'm just here to play soccer, which is such a fucking cop-out. You know, for a guy that really didn't need $700 million because he already has that much. So,
he didn't need it.
Yep.
But goddamn, did he want it.
But you look at the Saudi Arabians bought Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
They just bought Newcastle. And in Emirates, the airline, you see mm-hmm. their logo on the chests of soccer players all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, they're spending fucking money. The Emirates stadium that Arsenal plays in. You know, trust me, I'm not mm-hmm. being Pollyannish. I'm just mm-hmm. you know, they do. And so you've got all of these problems. It feels like it did when, you know, Qatar used slavery to build all of their stadiums and a whole bunch of people died in the world. Just FIFA's like, I know, we'll make a fucking trophy for President Trump. Yay.
Yeah.
So if you pop over to theleftshow.com and scroll down a little bit, you can see this too and see all of the just weird, egregious things that Saudi Arabia is doing. And it's working.
Yeah.
That's what it is. All right.
So they did the comedy festival, what, yep. a few years ago?
No, just a couple months ago.
Just this last year, they did this comedy festival, and all we were condemning all these comics who went out. Pete Davidson went on Saturday Night Live to talk about how much his Staten Island Ferry is losing money. He goes, that's why I had to go do Saudi Arabia. I'm paying for this thing. I can't afford it. It's breaking me. I had to go do Saudi Arabia just so I could pay for this.
Yeah. There was, I cannot remember his name for the life of me, but he's a Muslim comic. Right? He's mm-hmm. East Coast, works East Coast. And yep. he was like, I got invited, and they told me they were going to give me $150,000, and you bet your ass I was going to go. And then I kept thinking yeah. about it, and I kept thinking about it, and I kept thinking about it. And then I remembered these three jokes that I told about the Crown Prince mm-hmm. and how he thinks that homosexuality is a disease. So I acted out a little, you know, dramatish for him going to the doctor and being diagnosed with homosexuality.
Oh, Jesus.
And he's like, I'm starting to think maybe they're just tricking me there.
Yeah.
I'd be like,
not a good idea to go.
Nope. Nope. Not at all. All right, here's the good news. And the thing is I've done this before just with my own sound gear, and it's still not this cool.
No.
But Pink Floyd's Shine On You Crazy Diamond Parts 1-9 released as one continuous track for the first time.
I mean,
beautiful. I have listened to it so many times.
This is what it's supposed to be, you know?
Yep. So here I'll share this story, and I've done it before, but there was a time in my life about 12 or so years ago where I just glitched, and the only thing I could listen to was Pink Floyd, and the song I listened to the most was Shine On You Crazy Diamond, and I was pulling in live versions from bootlegs. I was pulling in both Roger Waters and David Gilmour doing it solo. You know, I mean, it was like I had it stacked. As a guitar player, I can hear the difference from one to another. But the problem was is that my wife at the time was not a guitar player, and all she heard was the same song over and over again for fucking almost 3 months. And that was it. And she's mad at me right now with a very good reason, make no mistake. But I have wanted to send her this 25-minute track for funsies and laughs and giggles since I caught this news earlier this week. But there's a video. If you go to YouTube, this is the bad news part. So I'll just get this out of the way. If you go to YouTube, there's a video. It's what's his name from the Great British Bake Off? Noel. I can't remember his last name.
Noel Clark. Noel Clark. Also from what was that one about IT guys?
The IT Crowd.
Oh, the IT Crowd. The IT Crowd. Yeah.
Love that show.
He was the weird goth who lived in the server room. Yep. Yeah.
But he it's him painting a picture of Syd Barrett.
Yeah.
With just his fingertips and paint.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of neat to watch. My bitch because it's fucking YouTube, the song got interrupted 3 times with fucking commercials.
Yep.
But I did find it on Spotify. I won't listen to it on Spotify because I don't listen to Spotify. Because fuck them, even though the reason I have it is so I can check to make sure that our podcasts are working well. But since I'm on a Spotify boycott, I don't check it as often as I should. Mm-hmm. What you got? There you go.
This is it. So this is on, you can get it on iTunes.
Yeah.
For free. The full 25-minute video, uninterrupted.
Nice.
Yeah. Noel painting Syd.
Beautiful.
I mean, how cool is that?
You know? And it just, like I said, I have stitched these together myself in the past, but for some reason, this is just way cooler.
Yeah,
it's so smooth, so nice. That one.
I mean, because it's actually broken up. You have parts 1 through 5, and as we improved technology, there tends to be a little bit of a quick break. You can hear it between parts 1 through 5.
Yep.
And then you have parts 6 through 9, which are it's the second half of the album. Because you get 3 songs in between, Welcome to the Machine, Wish You Were Here, and Have a Cigar.
Yep.
And then you get the rest of the Shine On You Crazy Diamonds parts 6 through 9. Again, they get that little flutter as we've improved technology. Whereas on the original album, it just played, you know.
Yeah.
But you did have the break in between, and to have it actually all be one piece is going to sound incredible.
It does. Yeah. I have listened to it many, many times since it came out. There was one new thing from New Atlas that we were going to cover, and we've run out of time. Okay. This one says, we're evolving too slowly for the world we've built.
That sounds about right.
Doesn't it? Look, this was a really good read. If you could just take just 5 minutes is all it took. Pop over to leftshow.com and hit the show notes for this episode. This one's going to freak you out. This one's serious. And I read it and was like, oh, fuck.
It explains a lot. And it's things. It's a lot of this is things people have talked about. It's just that the University of Zurich actually did actual research into this.
Yep.
Other researchers and other scientists have talked about how social media, how all this stuff has affected us in ways that our bodies are not evolved for.
Right.
But yeah.
Anyway,
our brains aren't evolved for.
Yeah, that is it for this show. You can join us over on Patreon at patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media, where every week that we record, we pop over there for a little bit of special content. Sometimes deeper dives into issues, sometimes funny news, sometimes just there's too much serious news, so we use it as an overflow. But it's always good stuff, I think. And usually a couple of jokes. So I think that's where we're at. So we're going over to patreon.com/defenmedia. You can join us there. In the meantime, JC, thank you so much. For those of you that listen, that partake, there is a new I Told You So this week. I know it because I recorded it this morning. So it's coming. This is not a false promise, I swear.
Mm-hmm.
But let's all do what the British lady says.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.